17 years ago, a gift was given unto us, specifically us here at Decomposition Podcast. And that gift, which shall live forever in eternity, is the song, The Christmas Shoes. Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while. Know these shoes will make her smile. Want her to look beautiful if mama meets Jesus tonight. And welcome once again to Decomposition Podcast, where we hyper-analyze all of your favorite terrible songs. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Katie. Katie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm so excited that Teresa is here. I'm spoiling it. Teresa's here.
And our guest tonight is... I couldn't think of a better person to do this song with us until she told us she hated this song.
I hate this song.
I was certain that you were going to be like a staunch defender of this song.
How? What kind of person do you think I am?
As a Billy Joel fan, I thought you would
No, sir.
Defend any garbage.
Leave Mr. Joel out of this. I really did think that you were going to be a Christmas Shoes apologist.
No. Yeah. I thought you would have been in the camp of like, you know what? It's just a nice Christmas song.
No, it's not.
It's terrible. And I love it.
In fact, can I just be real? I've been holding this news back for 2 days. So 2 days ago, I said to Brad, I really think it's good that Teresa's going to do this episode with us because she's a real sweetie, you know, and I think we need a real sweetie for this one. And then maybe 5 minutes later, you texted me about like how you couldn't wait to unleash a whole new Teresa.
Just vitriol.
I hate this song so much. I don't know if I should go into just like an overall hatred right now.
Not yet.
No. We have structure here, young lady.
Oh my God, there's so much about this song.
So if you haven't picked up on it yet, the song we're doing this week is by the band New Song, and it is their 2000 hit, The Christmas Shoes, off of their 2000 album, The Sheltering Tree. This song went to number one on the Billboard Adult Contemporary.
Poor shame. I am so ashamed of all those adults.
It went to number 31 on Hot Country Songs and number 42 on the Billboard Hot 100. I don't have the actual sales figures, but I'm sure it made a fudge ton of money, and I have not made any of that money.
Well, I mean, you didn't have anything to do with the song.
It's not
not this
you.
Song. I'm just saying in any general of my creative endeavors, all of which I have a lot more pride in than I think New Song should in their song, Christmas Shoes. Saying New Song song is weird.
It is weird. It's a stupid name for
a band.
It's
a bad band name. So this band formed in 1981, I believe. They were in high school. And they look so old and weathered. I was saying while we were watching the video, the lead singer looks like Dave Attell when he was at his worst.
If they were in high school in 81, then in 2000, they were basically the age we are now.
No.
Oh, boy. Maybe a little older, but
no,
yeah.
I mean, 81 is 19 years after.
Imagine they were freshmen in 81.
Yeah, they'd be like 35.
But
yeah. Wrap your brain around that.
They look like they're in their 50s.
I know.
They look like they're in their jillions.
You know, the Christian music circuit, it really takes it out of you.
It is harrowing.
It is tough. Oh.
Can I say something about Teresa before we get too deep into
it? Yeah, do it.
I just want to say, in case this is the first episode that someone's listening to, that Teresa is our most frequent...
That's right.
You're like eight,
rounding out our 2017 here with a Teresa episode. Woo-hoo, and I think that is wonderful.
I love it.
We've basically had you do just about one episode a month, maybe with, I think, just November.
I want to say we enjoyed doing it, right?
The three of us have collaborated.
All right.
Once a month since we started this whole thing, you know, early in 2017, and I'm just so happy that you're with us for the end of 2017. Yay.
For this song.
Boo.
So I want to start tonight's episode by, I forgot to pull up my show notes so I could thank people.
So we're going to start with some thank yous to people who have been super supportive this week, I assume?
Yeah, I could have done that less awkwardly.
Yeah, but that's okay.
I didn't do that less awkwardly. Let's see. Okay, so we'll start with, we got a new review on iTunes, and I want to thank WastingWords03, who said that they'd love to be friends with us. And
oh, hey,
we'd likewise love to be friends with you, so.
Email us at...
Email us. I hope you like booze.
Decompositionpod at gmail.com.
I also want to say, purely by coincidence, one of our favorite podcasts, Cold Dog Soup, did their own Christmas shoes episode this week. I didn't realize that they were going to be reaching into like legit like hit song territory.
Yeah.
Because they've done episodes on like songs before, but never ones that were like by famous artists.
Did you listen to it? Because I didn't listen to it. I didn't want to be
tainted. No, so it was just Sean and Hankins this week. Creel wasn't there. So it was just the two of them. And it was thankfully, it was like nothing like what we do.
Okay.
So that was nice.
I didn't want to have my point of view, you know, influenced by anybody else.
They had this whole running theory that Kevin McAllister was the kid who was dirty head to toe. It's Macaulay Culkin buying, what's her name, Catherine O'Hara, some fugly shoes.
Got it. Now so. I understand a tweet of theirs from earlier today correcting which Kevin they were talking about.
I also noticed today on Billboard's website that Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton's hit is still climbing the charts.
That is a shame, although it's still climbing the charts for Decomposition.
It's
as
really
well.
Doing wonders for us, I gotta it say. Is. I wanna thank everybody who listened to it, who shared it, who retweeted us, who told their friends or their enemies or whoever. It is now, I think, our fifth most popular episode of all time.
Right, and it just came out on Monday.
Yeah. Not even a week ago.
Yeah.
So it will be a week, I guess, when this comes out. Christmas Day!
This is our Christmas gift to all of you.
Feel free to return it.
Yeah.
So get a credit for those photo shoes.
You hate your listeners. This is what you were doing to them.
Yeah. Well, with every single one of these songs. Let's not limit it to new song. Let's be upfront. All the way back from our Steve Miller Band days. Like, we picked out... Some Garbaggio songs.
Other songs, you might not like them, but they're... this is...
I don't know anybody that likes this songs, and yet according to like their Amazon reviews or their YouTube comments, it's all like, this song makes me cry. I love it so much.
I know a lot of old ladies that this song makes cry.
Old ladies.
You forgot about
them. The old lady
market.
Well, not old. Middle... but older than us ladies.
We here at Decomposition do not have a very old... demographic.
Well, I should say, just in case my aunt is listening, you know, she cries at this song.
Okay. Well, Teresa didn't mean you.
Yeah. Aunt Dale, you're not an old lady. You're a wonderful
This song
wonderful
is not
person.
Terrible for you.
No, it makes her cry. It's terrible.
Everybody else on the planet seems to recognize how god-awful this god-awful song is. Just 100% garbage. 100%. So, last week, I have the date written down. 12/14/2017. I have a direct quote from Katie that, quote, the song is funny.
Well, it is.
What is wrong with you?
But, and she said that she was going to regret saying that.
Yeah.
Because the song is not intended to be funny at all.
No.
But in some weird ways, bear with me.
Yeah.
Enjoy this song. Because it's so funny.
It is.
It just makes me laugh so hard. When we watch the crazy video with Rob Lowe, okay. It makes me laugh so hard. I'm not saying it's a good song or that I like the song, but I have a pleasant experience interacting with it because I find it to be hilarious.
This song is like the musical equivalent of The Room. It's basically everything about it is so laughably bad.
Yeah, I think that might be offensive to The Room. I'm not sure.
I don't know. We just saw The Disaster Artist, and that was wonderful. But
Teresa's going, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
So, no idea.
Oh, boy.
Didn't someone win an Oscar for The Room?
No.
No.
Wasn't there like a lady that was like trapped in a bomb shelter?
That's Room.
Oh.
That's different.
That's
from Tommy Wiseau's
Brie Larson,
The Room,
which is an excellent book. I didn't see the movie.
I have been very confused about these commercials. All right. Okay. Things are making more sense now.
So, do we want to just launch into lyrics? Are we ready to get lyrical or?
No. I think Teresa wants to make a statement.
Oh, please.
Even
please
before
do.
We launch into the lyrics.
Okay. I love Christmas.
Yeah.
I love Christmas music.
Sure.
I love it, but Christmas music is supposed to do something specific or a few specific things. Uh-huh. I think Christmas music can, number one, like, make you reflect religiously.
Now, do you feel the same about, like, classic Christmas songs as you do about, like, modern?
Yes.
Okay.
There's, like, different categories of Christmas music. There's, like, the religious reflection kind of stuff.
Sure.
You know, it's like, okay, Jesus was born. High five. Right. That kind of stuff. There's the ones
there's
that...
There's a lot of high five Jesus songs. Yeah, sure.
Like, Jesus is great. High five.
That's why I think Jars of Clay did a whole album based on high fives
high five for Jesus.
Yeah.
Fist bumps, all those things.
Fist bumps, everything, yeah.
Secret handshakes of Jesus.
Yeah. He took the wheel.
Every time. Later, you guys need to invent a Jesus secret handshake now.
We can do it.
We'll work on it.
It would probably be like unintentionally offensive.
No, probably. So... religious aspect, or it can be something that makes you think of, like, Christmas's past, right? Like, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Right.
Like, okay, makes you reflect on, like, happy memories, warm and fuzzy inside kind of thing.
Right.
And then there's the songs that, like, lift your Christmas spirit. They're bouncy and fun and kind of dancey music, whatever. Whether they are good at achieving those things or not, that's what, like, Christmas songs are supposed to do. Like, you don't like the Blake Shelton, Gwen Stefani song,
right.
But that's part of the Christmas spirit one. It's bumpy and poppy and fun and all those things, right? So,
I just moved that microphone and it sounded in my earbuds like there was some farting going on.
It was not me.
So I just want to make that known. Nobody was farting into the microphone. No. That was just the sound of friction.
No. I guess I don't want to get into it.
You don't wear earbuds, so you don't really get... Yeah.
Fart friction.
That's what you get for defending Gwen Stefani. You did this to yourself.
It's all my fault.
Anyway.
So this song is none of those things.
Right.
What this song does... what this song does is it makes you think about the death of your loved ones.
Yeah.
Not about thinking about your dead loved ones like, oh, I remember mom and she's so
nostalgic
sweet.
No. celebrating them.
It makes you think about, like, the time that mom died. Like, this is a terrible song. It is emotionally manipulative.
It is awful.
Yeah.
But it's not, and it's not written well. Like,
no.
On top of that, it's not written well.
No.
If something is emotionally manipulative, it better be well written.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a story of a kid with a dying mom. And I love a story song because they're usually awful. It's a song about a kid with a dying mom who can't afford to buy shoes. And then they just crowbar Christmas Eve into the story.
They're like, let's make it Christmas time.
Somebody's mom can die literally any time in the year.
Yeah. Could be July. You know?
And I also feel like this song spends a good amount of time saying, like, hey, look how good a person I am for buying these shoes.
Absolutely.
That's the problem with that song.
That's the Christmas spirit right there.
Look at how great I am.
Because the speaker in this narrative poem really has just... put all this together in order to brag that he bought the shoes for the kid with the dying mom, and that makes him a good person who's in the Christmas spirit. And it's like, oh, this is a brag song.
It's terrible.
Now, if I can say what makes this song excellent, in my opinion, it is not the words or the music, which is typically what you would think would make a song excellent, but this is not that. It is how seriously everything is taken in this song.
Oh, God.
From the melted Dave Attell singing to the video, to Rob Lowe's performance in the TV movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, guys, can I propose a new Christmas tradition? Every year we get together, the four of us. And I understand that Mike is not on a microphone, but, like...
He is here. He's in the other room.
He's part of the four of us. So then the five of us, including the dog. We get together and we watch the entire, like...
No.
Christmas Shoes movie trilogy.
There are three?
Why are there three?
Mom is dead. What's two and three about?
Wait a second.
Did stepmom die too?
Oh, boy.
Is that for real?
It is for real.
Can you explain it, please?
Not really.
You just know that there are three movies.
So the Hallmark Channel created three different movies.
You?
The Christmas Shoes, The Christmas Blessing, and The Christmas Hope. Now, to be fair, they were not based on the song, but they were based on the books written that were based on the song.
Time the fudge out. There is a song There is a series of movies.
There's a series of books.
There is a series of books.
And the movies are based on those books. This is.
And the song came first?
The song came out in 2000. The first movie came out in 2002.
Okay, and so the books were written after the song or before the song?
After the song.
That, they really cranked that.
They sure did. They saw the cash that was flowing out of this. So the first movie.
So upset.
Oh, man, I want to get into the lyrics, but now I've started on the movies. That was my bad. I apologize. The movie stars Rob Lowe. And Kimberly Williams Paisley, who, what was she in?
She was in Father of the Bride.
Father of the Bride.
Which is a fantastic movie. I love that. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, we discussed, I think it was the guy that wrote the California Dreams theme who like performed music in Father of the Bride.
Yes.
Wow.
You were here.
I was here.
Yeah.
Goldfish. I caught it. I don't remember.
Did you, is that contagious? Is goldfish memory contagious?
I guess so.
So the second movie, The Christmas Blessing, which I don't have a summary of in front of me. So Rob Lowe reappears.
Buying more shoes for poor children.
So the cast of this movie here. Katie, your old boyfriend, Neil Patrick Harris.
Rebecca
Gayheart.
Okay. She was an Oxima girl. The curly hair.
Okay,
and she was in Showgirls, I believe.
90210?
I could be wrong about that.
I don't know.
Like the later years.
And then as their child, Angus T. Jones from Two and a Half Men.
Random.
So, kid.
No, she was in Scream 2, excuse me.
Oh, okay.
And then Rob Lowe makes an appearance again, like tying these two movies together. And then you know who else shows up, Katie? Blake Shelton.
Yeah,
he plays himself. And New Song also makes an appearance.
What? Was Blake Shelton famous in the early 2000s?
Who knows?
Famous enough to play himself.
Yeah, this was 2005.
I guess he was in the country music world. People knew who he was.
And then you want to get into a crazier cast. So then The Christmas Hope comes out, which also has Neil Patrick Harris tying those two together.
Was this before How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, this was in 2009.
All right.
Everybody's career was on a downswing, basically.
Yeah.
This is before How I Met Your Mother, before Parks and Rec, before The Voice.
Maybe like right around when Rob Lowe left The West Wing too early.
Yeah.
And then it was still a very popular show.
Like in the first one, like Kimberly Paisley, she was like the most famous. She was coming off of Father of the Bride doing great with her life.
I mean, that was still several years after.
Oh, yeah. Not famous.
She lost her celebrity status. I don't know. So The Christmas Hope, the final one in the Christmas in the shoes trilogy. I shouldn't have said that while you were mid sip. So this stars Madeline Stowe, James Remar, Katie, Dexter's father.
Oh yeah.
Ian Ziering.
Okay, that seems appropriate.
Ian.
This is pretty Sharknado.
I think he does pronounce his name Ian.
Ian?
Yeah.
Even though it's clearly Ian.
Huh. Okay,
he seems the right level of fame.
Yeah, for the shoes.
For the third part
in the Hallmark Channel Christmas Shoes trilogy.
I am never watching these movies.
No, every year. Starting in 2018. Guys, I'm going to make us watch these.
All right, then we also have to watch the Blake Shelton, Gwen Stefani Christmas
I already watched
again.
That. I already watched it.
Do that as part of our tradition.
Can we just do that? Can we just like pick out a night to watch all of these terrible things in one?
Yeah, sure.
Do you like having friends? Like, I don't, I mean.
They're not great. I'm going to be honest. They're not great.
This is how you lose them.
I'm not too big on them. Are we ready to get into lyrics? Have we gone through the movies enough?
Sure, I'm ready.
I know the second story, the second movie is about Neil Patrick Harris as a doctor who loses a patient on the table and therefore stops believing in Christmas.
Does that mean he stops believing in God?
I don't know. I didn't watch the movie. Santa. We'll find out in 2018.
That's how you stop believing in Santa.
It's just Santa.
He's like, I wrote a letter to Santa. I asked him to save
this patient.
This
year, I don't want any people to die on my operating table.
Well, as we noticed in the Gwen Stefani Blake Shelton song, well, not in that song specifically, but in her Christmas album, there's a lot of confusion with adults about the difference between Jesus and Santa Claus. Yeah.
There's a lot of confusion everywhere about what Christmas actually is. It shouldn't be in December.
Yeah, like, no,
there
not
are
at all.
So many things.
But you
that
know
we
what?
Do.
That's become traditional for 1,500, 1,600 years now. So we're just going to kind of go
with
it.
So yeah. Forget facts.
Yeah. Okay.
Fudge off facts. So, fudge off. Fudge off.
Shall we talk about the chorus?
Yeah. Who wants to?
Do you think because this is such a story, it makes sense to start from the beginning
no,
of the
story? No, it doesn't, because the chorus is the same, okay. Ultimately, several times. I don't know how you milk this 4 minute and 51 second song into a 2 hour TV movie.
We're going to have to watch it and find out and then talk about it another day, maybe.
Okay. Teresa, as the guest, while I pour myself another beer,
okay.
Do you want to read the chorus?
Sure.
Go for it.
All right. Sir, I want to buy these shoes. For my mama, please.
And in the role of little dirty boy, Teresa, please. Thank you.
It's Christmas Eve, and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile. And I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, do you ever think the chorus to a song is going to start, sir, I want to buy these shoes? Like, that's ludicrous. That's insane.
It's awful. So bad.
Do you think like new? So I have like the story behind the song here. I have all these notes written down, but I really do think that despite all of that, new song just said like, guys, I think we can make Christmas shoes like a thing for Christmases to come. Like people will start celebrating Christmas with shoes. I felt like they thought this was like a tradition that they were inventing.
That you have to buy special shoes.
That, like
for
some
Christmas?
Of the shoes were at all related to Christmas.
No.
Or that you have to have nice shoes on when you die.
That is the most amazing part of this, because nowhere in any Christian doctrine I can find does it talk about Jesus' love of meeting people when they're well-dressed. In fact, he talks about the poor an awful lot.
Isn't there like a whole thing about you take nothing with you when you go into
it? It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven.
Scripture. Bible 5.
Heck yeah, Bible 5.
This is ridiculous. I never knew Jesus was so into fashion. I mean, come on.
Jesus loves those shoes.
He's working the red carpet, watching them all come into heaven.
Oh, my God.
There is a red carpet when you open those pearly gates,
yes,
apparently. Okay. And you better have nicest Christmas shoes on.
I want to bring up something that Mike basically said what I think we were all thinking when we watched this video, in that those shoes are hideous.
Yes.
Those are fugly shoes.
They're little weird slippers with flowers like, or something.
Embroidery
on them.
Or something.
They're terrible.
Oh my
really
God.
Ugly shoes.
When this kid slips those shoes onto his dying mother's feet, it's supposed to be this big emotional moment, and it is the funniest goddamn thing I've ever seen in my life.
When they first showed it, I was like, is she already dead? Is he putting his shoes onto a corpse? What is happening? Who is letting this child
do this?
This
is the best song we have ever done. I am putting that out there now.
Brad, I have to ask a serious question.
Okay.
When you were a little boy.
Yeah.
Did you know your mother's shoe size?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
Because that's astonishing to me also. These shoes are just her size. How does he know?
Well, part of the argument, it's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Like, do you think that clerk cares if it's December 21st or December 24th? No. Like, that, his argument of you don't have the money you need to buy these shoes is going to be the exact same no matter what day of the year it is.
I mean, based on the film adaptation, he definitely doesn't care. Teresa,
well, he's heartless.
What is he mouth at that little boy?
He says, like, this is not enough money.
Yeah. Like that. I wonder if that guy is the main antagonist of the trilogy. If he's the Sauron.
So.
He's the Sauron of the Christmas Shoes trilogy.
I hope so. You don't know who Sauron is?
No.
You never read The Lord of the Rings?
Oh, I hate
He's
that.
He's the Darth Vader. He's the Darth Vader of
okay.
the...
Okay. All right.
Is that
Star Wars, I'm in.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, no thank you.
We're going to talk about that later, Teresa.
No, I left my friend's house while they were watching it. It was...
He's the patriarchy of their Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, bastards. like, those are very ugly shoes, but kids buy ugly presents for their parents.
They do. That's
true. Don't you remember going to, like, the Christmas fair at school and being like, Mom would love this scarf?
Oh, yeah. Everything we bought was, like, candy related. It's like, oh, somebody made, like, a little, like, it was a lifesaver airplane, and my dad's going to love it.
My dad has 700 pens that say, like, world's best dad.
Yeah.
They're the mugs.
Just in case he was ever doubting his abilities.
Just in case.
You know what my mom always wanted? Like a glowing reindeer that sings terrible songs. That'd be one of the things that I bought.
I thought your mom actually wanted a glowing reindeer. I was like, that's a weird thing. Child me.
My dad is going to love this tea bag filled with golf tees because that's clever.
That's
I get it.
So
I get
many golf related gifts. My dad never played golf.
Oh, my dad did. So.
Oh yeah, no, my dad's not a golfer.
Well, you guys didn't know what to get your parents, because obviously you buy them beautiful Christmas shoes.
That's what we should have done. Embroidered Christmas shoes. That's what I'm getting my dad this year.
Especially
shoes.
So what
if you want them to be prepared for Jesus?
Yes.
What did you pick up about the plot to the movie based on the video?
It doesn't really follow the song all that well.
How did this inspire a book that inspired a movie?
Oh, they're like, how can we make middle-aged ladies cry?
Let's have Rob Lowe buy a dirty kid some shoes.
Pick some handsome actors.
But then they didn't even stick with the story. I mean, should we get into the first verse so we can talk about this crazy
launch right into it?
We need to talk about? No, I don't think so. Daddy says there's not much time. What dad is this? To his son. He's like, listen, kid, Mom's dying tonight.
Listen,
run and go get shoes, quick.
He's either like thoroughly depressed because Mommy's dying, or he's so happy that Mommy is dying that he
can Daddy. Terrible.
Don't say that. Don't say that. That feels weird.
You don't like it.
Yeah. I do not like that. No. Sir, I wanna buy you shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, Katie, can you do V1 here?
Absolutely. It was almost Christmas time.
It was Christmas Eve. We just learned that in the chorus.
This is the first line of the song, though.
Okay.
It was almost Christmas time. There I stood in another line, trying to buy that last gift or two. Not really in the Christmas mood. Standing right in front of me was a little boy waiting anxiously, pacing round like little boys do. And in his hands, he held a pair of shoes.
What little boys are pacing? Like, the only time you see boys, like, little kids pace is when they have to go to the bathroom.
Excuse me, I was reading.
I'm sorry, it still goes. I thought that was...
Do you want me to stop there?
Did New Song not include a line about this kid pissing his pants?
Because I feel like I'm about to get...
Because the next verse, it gets a little...
Sorry.
His clothes were worn and old. He was dirty from head to toe. And when it came his time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say. And then we get into the chorus.
Oh, my God.
So the little boy says, sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please, etc., etc., etc. I don't understand why he's dirty from head to toe.
Yeah, the things don't look good for this little boy.
He doesn't have to be a street urchin in order to not have enough money to buy a pair of shoes.
I do want to point out that that's something that we're talking about on Cold Dog Soup. Is that evident? Some sort of like Dickensian street urchin?
Shoot, I didn't listen to Cold Dog Soup.
I don't even know what that is. That's true. It's wonderful.
I do want to say that I think that, so New Song, they're from Valdosta, Georgia.
Okay.
And I don't know what sort of public school upbringing they had. They don't seem to know what rhymes are because they get close an awful lot.
Yeah.
But they don't quite hit that nail on the head.
Like mood and do.
Time, line, to, mood, me, anxiously, do, shoes. That's what they got in stanza one.
It's close.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
And then it just gets like abandoned entirely for the next two lines. His clothes were worn and old and he was dirty head to toe. Guys, I just
don't understand that part of the story. Like, if you're a little boy, right? If you're, say, 10 or under.
Yeah.
The story would still work that you wouldn't have enough money yeah. to buy your mom shoes. You don't have to be yeah. dirty from head to toe and torn and worn clothes. And does he have the worst parents ever?
Well, like, mom is dying.
The mom is dying. She's a terrible mom, obviously, because of her dying.
Mom was, I guess, pulling, you know, doing everything at home, and dad was doing nothing, so that when mom is sick, the boy doesn't get bathed or have clothes.
And his dad is just like,
his father doesn't know how to run a bath.
Yeah, and dad's just letting him run willy-nilly all over town, going to stores, supervise.
I think this kid was old enough to bathe himself.
I mean, he's old enough to go to a department store. You'd think that he'd be old enough to, like, know, time to clean up.
Well, I think based on this verse and the chorus, we see that dad is having some real parenting problems.
Yeah.
He's like, kid, mom's dying now.
Oh. She's going to meet Jesus and she gots to look hot.
Yeah.
So the writer of the song, Eddie Carswell, said, quote, it was inspired by this lady who'd been in that situation. Not exactly the way the story goes, but a very similar story. And then simultaneously, he said that they found this story on the internet. He said, we would read this story and knew something was there. So he kept stabbing at it, kept coming back.
Now we know my mom is dying.
Oh, boy.
Stabbing at it. Oh.
That's dark. It is the holiday season, Teresa.
How dare I?
How dare you? It seems like Eddie Carswell doesn't really know where the story of this song came from.
So they just read about some lady on the internet, and this sort of happened to her, but not really.
Yeah, so the story was passed along to them by this St. Louis DJ who was called DJ Chimes or something like that, who found this story and then said the story took years for them to write, or the song took years for them to write.
They must be very bad songwriters.
Well, Katie, you've read these lyrics.
But I mean, worse than I thought, because I assume this would have been some kind of like cobbled
out
together.
15 minutes. Yeah.
No, years. Quickie. Do you know what's funny is you're saying you found it on the internet. One of the things that I wrote down while listening to this was, this feels less like a song and more like an annoying super Jesus-y email forward I would have gotten from my grandfather or a member of my youth group back in 1998.
Sure. Yes.
And maybe,
so maybe I did. Oh my God.
So they knew something was there.
Terrible.
Evidently, you know what the other problem I have with this song is? So this, like, this guy, he says in the bridge that, like, he rediscovered the Christmas spirit.
Well, we didn't
basically.
Get there yet.
We didn't get there. I'll wait. Okay. So.
So let's just bring things to a screeching halt.
I'm sorry. I was just like, we're gonna do it.
I think you were stomping all over my toesies here. But yeah,
wearing Christmas shoes.
So this song was written for their. this song, first of all, I want to say it was recorded in summer of 2000, which I find odd, but whatever, it's fine.
To put it out
as a winter release. It was released in October.
So was You Make It Feel Like Christmas.
That's true.
Maybe that's a normal time to release a Christmas
song.
Well,
I'm sure if you want to capitalize on the...
as much money as possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to put this on their album, The Sheltering Tree, which is not a Christmas album. The producer originally passed on the song, but they decided almost at the last minute to include a Christmas song. And so over the course of these years it took to write the song, they hammered out the second verse and a bridge in less than a week. So
they took years to write some of the song and then 1 week to write the second verse and the bridge.
And I would say that it's all equally garbagey.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a band that had been together since 1981.
So 19 years when the
song
came
out. And they were unsuccessful until this. I'm assuming. I don't know. Newsboys. Nope. Not Newsboys.
Newsboys.
Another Christian band.
Newsboys is another Christian band who has songs that I actually have on my phone right now.
Nice.
So, Entertaining Angels.
Yes.
That's a great song.
Definitely.
Breakfast. I used to thoroughly enjoy that song. Shine. That was another song
Shine's a great song.
Liked. So
Shine is a good song. Sorry, Katie. She's got a lost
I'm
face.
Not Christian enough for this conversation.
Or at the very least, you weren't in high school.
Yeah. I have never been Christian enough for this conversation.
No, so New Song has been together since 81. And I guess I see why, you know, we don't know too much about them, because it takes them this long to write this song.
Yeah. However, they signed with Covenant Records in 1982. So they weren't really... They only took a year to really, like, start to make it happen. But then it wasn't for another 18 years.
But they got their big hit.
Got their biggest hit.
Oh, boy.
As it turns out. Can we talk about how serious this guy is when he sings this song?
So earnest.
He does that. kind of whisper singing.
It's not really singing.
No.
It's like husky talking.
In this video, they're so serious. They're all standing down. The one guy, the lead singer, who I'm assuming is Eddie Carswell, is like staring off into nothing, like kind of smiling.
And the guys who would be playing the instruments are just standing there.
Hands in their pockets, like looking at their feet, or sitting on some like cobblestone staircase with Christmas lights all over
it. They look like a doo-wop group that just needs a burning garbage can in front of them.
All they need is a burning garbage can. And he's wearing his like, his just blue baseball cap. Logos, no team members. It's just a blue baseball cap, which is like, literally any other hat would be better for the winter weather that they are standing in.
That's just him hiding his bald head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not well.
No.
That's in the other, in the live performance, he was wearing like a Kangol cap.
Yeah. And that was like, a much was better like, choice.
Yeah, that's a better choice.
That makes sense. So. A pair of shoes and his clothes were worn and old. He was dirty from head to toe. When it came his time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say.
What do you think, Brad? Do you want to read the second verse?
Do I?
The second verse that was written much faster than the first verse?
Yeah, the one that they hammered out in a week. I'm sure this one's just terrible, much like the first one. They counted pennies for what seemed like years. Then the cashews.
Can't do it.
I can't do it because the line in the movie is different from the line in the song, and it's confusing me. Then the cashier said, "Son, there's not enough here." What did the cashier say?
I think it was like, "You don't have enough money."
You don't have enough money. Just like that. Yeah.
He searched his pockets frantically. Then he turned and looked at me, and he said, "Mama made Christmas good at our house." Ugh. Oh, boy.
Ugh. I can't.
Mama made... I can't even read this.
Do you need help?
No, I got this.
All right.
Mama made Christmas good at our house, though. Most years, she just did without. Tell me, sir, what am I gonna do? Somehow, I gotta buy her these Christmas shoes. So I laid the money down. I just had to help him out. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he said, "Mama's gonna look so great."
There's so many things wrong with this.
Oh, Katie, start us off.
It never should have gotten to the guy behind the kid in line having to pay for the shoes. This is, I know there's a lot else going on here.
Yeah.
That's my biggest problem with the story. So if I put myself in the shoes of this cashier, you've got a little boy who's like counting out all of his pennies with this
just
pair
a
of
handful
shoes.
Of change. He's just basically he's got just a handful like, of he went to a coin he could have gone to a Coinstar.
He's counting it out for what seems like years. And he's got a little sweet face looking up at you, and you're the cashier. I've worked in a store as a cashier. I would have just given the kid the shoes.
Absolutely.
I would have paid for the rest of the shoes with my own money.
Yes.
There's no way it even gets to another adult having to pay for the shoes. I just pay for the shoes. End of story.
Because you have a heart.
Why is the cashier a monster?
Look
at this heartless fat cat cashier. You don't have enough money.
Or, son, there's not enough here.
Oh, God.
Like,
I'm picturing him taking out this little bust, like, dirty Ziploc bag.
I'm imagining, like, an old paper sack that's, like, wet on the bottom.
It's all about to, like, break through and pour all over the counter. Oh, my God. You are absolutely right, Katie, because I had the same thought in my head. What is wrong with this cashier?
Right.
Why can't he just get here, take the shoes? They're ugly anyway.
Right. You know? Who gives a shit? Just take the shoes.
Can you just say, like, kid, your mom's dying. You don't need the shoes.
Oh,
like,
that's harsh, though.
Well, dad said it to him.
Is it worse? Is it worse than saying, like, you don't have enough money as the lead antagonist of the Christmas shoes?
It's pretty heartless to be like, Jesus doesn't care about your mom's shoes anyway.
Like, if you think, like, shoes don't go to heaven.
No.
As far as I have learned in the Christian church over my 36 years.
Yeah.
Like, you do not take, like, physical possessions with you to heaven or hell when you die.
True. People,
just your soul.
People do get dressed up to be buried,
but
though.
It's not for Jesus. It's for, like, everybody that's coming to the wake.
Yeah.
Like,
Teresa, I'm pr- pretty sure it's for Jesus.
No, it's not.
I mean, sure? I guess maybe if Jesus shows up at your funeral, but like otherwise, he's probably just seeing you in whatever best form you're in.
Wouldn't you just be in the buff?
Or in some sort of glorious white robe.
It's just a glowing orb of soul.
It says that in the Bible, Katie.
Yeah, no.
Read Matthew.
Where does the Bible say glowing orb of soul?
That's probably Ezekiel. There's a lot of weird stuff happening in the book of Ezekiel.
Revelations, aren't there things glowing and things like that happening?
But it's mostly death and destruction.
Yeah, true.
Mostly death and destruction.
I'm Catholic. I don't know the Bible.
Harlots, the whore of Babylon.
I really wanted to high five you. You're too far away.
Well, listen, I grew up in the Protestant church, but as I got into my late teens, it was a little bit more of like a modern evangelical kind of feel. Without all the hatred.
Okay, that's good. Good to know.
But it was, and there was a lot of emphasis placed on the book of Revelation.
Oh.
So that was, yeah, I don't do that
grim.
Anymore. It was grim. So at no point did they ever say, like, you better have some fly kicks.
I was going to say,
because
did they ever
you're
talk
gonna
about,
die.
Like, when the rapture happens?
Listen, growing up, I had these, like, Skechers that I thought were pretty cool looking, and all the other kids had like Doc Martens, and I thought the Skechers looked like close enough to Doc Martens. Now, as an adult, now through the power of New Song, I understand that, like, yeah, those shoes are worth it.
If Jesus had come to take you away,
yeah,
he would have had to leave you behind because you didn't have the right shoes on.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I've learned.
Even now, I'm still wearing Skechers.
It's true.
Oh, it's true.
You're in trouble.
Oh man. Well, we're doomed. We're gonna show up in heaven. Jesus is gonna be like, you ain't got those fly ass kicks, so I'm just gonna.
Well, I was always doomed, folks. So.
You know what Satan loves? Keds.
Sounds right.
We got deep into the shoe conversation now.
Well, what are you supposed to talk about when you're talking about
the song is Christmas Shoes, Teresa.
That is true. That is true.
This is the part of the song that gets into the kind of bragging bit. I'm trying to look for it again now.
This is going to vomit on our microphone.
Sounds of disgust from Teresa.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
totally
it says,
braggy.
Like, so I laid my money down. I just had to help him out. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he said, Mama's going to look so great. I guess that's supposed to be the guy, like,
she's going to be so hot for Jesus.
I think it's supposed to be the man saying, like, I'm so moved by this little boy's selflessness, but it's so odd. Like, it could be about anything else under the sun. And the fact that it's about a pair of shoes purchased in a department store just makes it feel, like, very empty to me.
But the whole thing about this song, though, it's, like, total baloney because if the real message, I have my fists clenched in anger.
Smash.
You're just interrupting your own sentences with just noise.
With no, like,
yeah.
Where was I?
I don't know.
It just makes me so angry because when there's the whole message of, like, giving and doing things is not to give so that you get praise. You're supposed to give and just do it.
You're supposed to help.
You're supposed
basically,
to help.
You're give, supposed to help.
Do things for others and then let it go. This song, if this guy, this band was really Christian, wouldn't even exist.
Yeah. Well, can we get to the next part then?
Yeah, please. Because I...
Fits.
Magoo.
Is this... the final...
Bring back the classic Teresa.
Part of the song says, as he thanked me and ran out, I knew that God had sent that little boy to remind me just what Christmas is all about.
That makes
and
me
I
want
think,
to throw a chair.
I knew
He's
I
so
caught
angry.
A glimpse of heaven, heaven's love as he thanked me and ran out.
Oh, I skipped the most problematic line, possibly.
I knew I'd caught a glimpse of heaven's love.
I knew God loved me because I gave money and bought this kid shoes. And then I knew that God had sent me this little boy to remind me what Christmas is all about. So this little boy's mother is dying. God is like, hey, I'm going to make this little boy's mother die so you can learn about Christmas.
I think Teresa did listen.
Fudge all that because that's ridiculous.
Fudge all that in the keister.
Yes. Right in the keister.
I think that Teresa did listen to Cold Dog Soup's episode on this.
Oh, no.
Because
I don't.
She just made the exact same point they did.
Because it's a good point to
make. It is a good point.
High five. cold dogs.
Soup.
Soups.
Cold dog soup.
You
singular.
Guys. Cold dog soup.
Teresa, you should listen to this podcast. Right. I think you'd enjoy it.
I will do it. It's on my list. I'll add it now.
So.
But like, no, the two people are making this point because it's a good point to make. It's the fact that I knew God had sent this little boy. That is so ridiculous. It is so selfish and saying that it's all about me. Because it is. This guy, this friggin' new song, it's all about him and then the way that he gives money. Like, look at me. Look at how wonderful I am.
Some small child had to endure the pain of losing a parent.
Yeah.
So that this guy got the Christmas spirit. Could understand the Christmas spirit. Get out of my face.
I want to point out when we were doing a mic check earlier, Teresa was like, check one. Check. And I was like, you're going to be a little bit more animated than that.
Now she's screaming. Brad's going to have a lot of editing.
Sorry.
To do.
I apologize.
You're going to be clipping left and right.
I don't know what that means, but this...
I'm out of breath from laughing at you so hard just now.
My cheeks are so, like, hot. I can't. I'm probably so red right now.
Teresa Hot Cheeks Valente.
That's what Mike likes to call me. By the way, Mike is my husband. I don't know if we explained that earlier. Because last week you talked about Mike, your stepfather.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we ever really explained.
Oh, boy.
Let's clarify.
Now my cheeks are hot.
I have parents who are named Teresa and Mike. And then we have Teresa, our friend, whose husband's name is Mike. These are not the same people.
No. Katie's stepfather does not call me Hot Cheeks.
No, please. That would make me so upset.
Oh, boy.
I'm so warm right now. Oh, boy.
It's getting hot in here.
So throw the song out the
Christmas
window.
Shoes.
I don't know.
I don't know if that
works. That's the best line that ever happened.
I knew I caught a glimpse of heaven's love as it thanked me and ran out. I knew that God had sent that little boy to remind me what Christmas is all about.
So, Brad, before you were going to say something about
the bridge. I have no idea what it was.
About the bridge. You wanted to say something about the bridge.
Something about the bridge. I have no idea what it was.
You can't remember?
God had sent me that little boy to remind me what Christmas is all about. No. I think we've discussed it already. I knew I'd caught a glimpse of heaven's love as I paid for those shoes for him.
That's the part that really, really ticks me off. Heaven's love and buying shoes in a department store should just not have anything to do with each other.
Well, that's also the theme of having to look good for Jesus. This is an idea of like your Christianity, your goodness, your God's love depends on the things that you have. This is total baloney.
Religion as commodity. It's nonsense.
News song, you're terrible, if that's the name of your band.
It is.
Okay.
Brad, I think, might be Googling Christmas shoes, like trying to find them to purchase them on Amazon. What you're doing?
No, but I like your story better than what I'm actually doing here. I'm looking at Amazon reviews of the song Christmas Shoes because I read one yesterday that I didn't write down. They called it absolutely unmissable. And then said, like, I would recommend this song for anybody that listens to music.
No.
What?
And it was like,
it's not even really a song.
There's no foul language and everyone can enjoy it.
That's what music is all about.
Like,
that's what you know.
That's why I would recommend anybody who listens to music can enjoy this.
Vomitrocious.
It is vomitrocious.
Agreed. Ugh. Are there any other factoids about this song?
Yes. So
it's so bad. That's the only fact you need. It's bad.
So Song ultimately ended up putting out a Christmas album, and they released this as the title track, so they put out an album called... Soak it in, Talente. So they released an album called The Christmas Shoes. On that album, the other weird choices that they made as a Christian rock band were to do songs like Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree and then You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
What?
And this.
And this, and Christmas Shoes. They wrote their own classic.
I guess so.
I remember when I first heard this song, how just, like, confused I was by the fact that it existed.
First time I heard this song, I was in college, I was working at a deli, and The old ladies I worked with would cry every time it came on. Around Christmas Seriously? Time, we just listened to the Christmas station. It was like,
did
this
you
song
openly
came on so
mock
many
them?
Times.
Did you,
I mean, I would 18 year old Teresa, I was too sweet and kind. I mean, like, I wasn't at this level of.
See, I did not hear the song when it came out. Like, even
I thought
though,
it was terrible. I hated it, but I was like, these old ladies. And then as I've gotten older, my hatred has grown.
Yeah. At the time, I was living in North Carolina, and you would think, like, if I was going to hear, like, a Christian rock Christmas song, it would be while I was living in North Carolina. But, like, seriously, I did not know this song existed for, like, 15 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, somehow, I knew it right away.
Somehow, I escaped that for this long.
If you work somewhere where... No, but didn't you work at a place where... Did they
yeah,
play,
in,
like, music, like, Christmas music constantly?
Sure.
And they didn't play this?
I worked at Best Buy for several years. No, they're not going to do Christmas, like,
did
religious
they do
songs.
Is it really a... I guess it says Jesus in it.
She's meeting Jesus tonight.
Going to heaven. She's learned the message of... I still don't understand what he thinks Christmas is all about, though.
You would hear Silent Night in a department store, yeah. And that's definitely... I mean, arguably a more religious
song. That's true,
song
but that's also,
one.
But that's like a traditional Christmas song.
True.
You know, you're going to hear it like you would also hear
would
like songs
hear,
like Away in a Manger or something like
would
that.
You
but like,
hear Mary, Did You Know? Do you know that one?
No.
Mary, Did You Know?
But you would hear like, Oh, Little
that
Town
your
of.
Your baby boy would someday walk on water.
This
Did you know?
Oh, boy.
It's terrible. It's really bad.
No, I think it's perfect.
Well, I'll play it for you later.
Yeah, please. But you'd hear, like, Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem or, like...
Yeah.
Especially if it's, like, an instrumental version of a religious Christmas song. You would definitely hear that. Like, even before that, when I worked at a bank and we had, like, the Muzak station going on all the time. They would play religious Christmas songs all the time, but it was always like the orchestral arrangements of them.
We listened to like 106.7 as soon as
Light
December.
FM.
Yeah, Light FM, Delilah at night, reading sexy stories.
Say what?
There's a lady, Delilah, who reads like love
Let's
letters.
Imagine for a second that some of the people that listen to this were not raised in northern New Jersey.
So 106.7 is the light music station in our area.
Yeah.
Plays like Celine Dion and Michael Bolton, those kinds of things,
sure.
Right? You know?
Some great stuff.
Some great stuff. And at night, oh God, I wish anybody who knew this was here, but I can't remember what time. I want to say like 10 o'clock at night that Delilah came on and she had kind of like a sexy voice and she's like, you're listening to Delilah.
Is that your sexy voice?
No, it's okay. Terrible. I can't do it. I'm laughing too much about it right now. But she would come on and she would read like letters from one listener to another. It was like, dear Stanley, I love you with all my heart and I miss you so much this Christmas time. I'm going to play for you our favorite Christmas song. Or like any song.
That's
it just
insane.
Have to be Christmas, you know.
Oh,
and it
my
was,
God.
Yeah. No, you'd never heard of Delilah?
No.
I think that she's still, not during Christmas time, but I think if you turn on Light FM, like any weeknight, you might find
Delilah. I wonder if she just has like interns like writing like bullshit.
Well,
like,
I mean,
letters.
People used to like listen to the radio.
That was the whole premise of Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah, was, like sending messages to each other, kind of thing. So,
you're suggesting that Sleepless in Seattle was inspired by Delilah.
No, I think that people used to. Didn't you used to like make a request?
That's
like,
what
for
I'm
your
getting
friends
from
on
this
the radio?
Conversation.
Well, no, this conversation was that we listened to 106.7 at the deli, and that was
that's
was,
where you, that's where you heard Christmas Shoes.
And they played
Shoes.
Christmas Shoes a ton. A ton.
I can't believe the song's almost 20 years old. I only heard it for the first time like a few years ago. It's just not on my radar.
I would say like 7 years ago is the first time I heard it.
I'm going to go like 3 or 4 years ago.
No, I've known it from the beginning. It's haunted me all these years.
Poor
so,
you.
So I'm going to call out very famous comedian Patton Oswalt because he basically did a decomposition episode on this song in 2009.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So even though that was 8 years before we existed, I'm saying he stole our bit. But he did it and it was hilarious and I had to turn it off midway through because I didn't want to feel like I was just like ripping off things he had already said.
Yeah, we intentionally didn't watch it because we didn't want to be influenced by it, but now I want to watch it.
Now, so really you fun. Bet I'm turning that on as soon as we're done recording here. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man.
This song is bad.
Is this the worst song you've ever heard in your life?
This is the... I so hesitate to say worse.
Is it the worst
Christmas song? It's the worst Christmas song. Certainly the worst. I love Christmas music, though, and this song gives Christmas music...
Your eyes just got so big that I was a little terrified, to be
this
honest.
This song gives Christmas music a bad name.
Yeah.
And love a bad name. Sorry, little Bon Jovi in there. You could love a bad music.
No, we get it. Yeah, yeah. Bear with me.
It was a huge hit song.
Yeah, yeah.
From a New Jersey artist, like, before. I promise you. Yeah, we've heard it. Yeah.
Okay.
The Jones. Yeah. Jonathan Bon Jovi. Yeah, yes, that's the guy. Yeah.
There are such amazing Christmas songs out there. We don't need this garbage.
We do not.
Go put on the Ronettes or Darlene Love or, oh my God, anybody
I'll tell you what
else.
The, like...
Otis Redding.
I was just saying there are like two different Christmas songs that I absolutely love. It's like Carol of the Bells and then I'll Be Home for Christmas. That's about it. Turn on either of those songs and enjoy them.
Go listen to Otis Redding's version of White Christmas and be like, beautiful. What is this? The sexiest Christmas song that's ever happened? It's amazing.
But I have to say, I'll Be Home for Christmas is also an excellent Christmas song.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So good.
Can we get back to sexy Christmas songs for a moment?
Because you've heard Otis Redding's White Christmas, right?
I find the concept very alarming.
Listen to that song and try not to want to get sexy later on your own with your wife.
Well, I appreciate the permission.
Slow down, Valente.
I mean, if you're into it.
Is it sexier than Baby It's Cold Outside?
Baby It's Cold Outside? What is wrong with you?
What's in this drink?
Terrible. That is not a sexy song.
Is it sexier than Santa Baby?
All right. So you made a thing last week when you said Eartha Kitt has a sexy baby voice. She does not. Eartha Kitt has like a purring thing. Her whole thing was
She was Catwoman.
But she did it before Catwoman. She did it in like 53 or something like that. And that Batman was in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but like she had this whole, that was kind of, she was cat-like. That was her thing, which is why she was so
a sexy
then.
Cat. Is that better than a sexy baby?
Yes. 100%.
I'm going to say most things are better than a sexy baby.
Why would you want a child to be sexy ever?
Who's a sexy kitten, maybe?
Yes, it was like the sex kitten. But that's like a thing.
Well, that's still is a sexy baby of sorts.
A baby
I'm
cat.
I'm throwing a wire. I wish I had something
you
to
have
throw.
Nothing to throw. Settle
things
down.
And throw them at you. A sexy cat.
All the things you could throw are breakable.
I know. That's why I won't throw them.
Can I tell you about our Twitter poll?
Yeah, please.
So I put up a Twitter poll. Since we've been tearing Christmas music apart all month, we'd love to have you weigh in. So how do you feel about Christmas music? The options were can't stand it, old or new, love it all, bring it on, and traditional only, please. And people love it all. People say love it all, bring it on.
Really?
Yeah, 42% of people say love it all, bring it on. It's pretty close, though. I got to be honest. 38% say can't stand it, old or new. And then 20% of voters say traditional only, please.
I think traditional only, that's boring.
I go traditional only.
No.
I don't care much for... They're like a handful. Like, I mean, I do consider I'll Be Home for Christmas a modern Christmas song.
Yeah, yeah.
But that said, you know, that's the exception, not the rule.
Wait, time out. You don't love Last Christmas by Wham?
No.
Because that song is...
I do.
Fudging amazing.
I really like Jimmy Eat World's version of that song.
I've never heard it. We'll listen to that later.
All right.
We're going to get straight Christmassy. Woo-hoo!
Time to get festive.
Do you know I was trying to talk Mike into wearing our Christmas jammies today?
He was like, no, that's not you could cool. have.
One of your young actors was wearing my old Christmas jammies in the play.
That's right. I forgot to tell you about that.
I noticed. I was like, oh, I know those.
So I do run a theater program and we do donate our clothes to the theater program pretty often. And I forgot to tell Brad that his old Christmas tree pajama pants would be featured in a performance this week. So, well, you saw it yourself.
I did.
It's fine. No big deal.
And I pointed it out to your stepfather, who has no strong feelings about Gwen Stefani. Who thinks that she's basically Sinead O'Connor for some reason.
Some very odd reason.
Do you know very who Sinead reason. O'Connor is?
So what do you think, guys? Should we wrap up 2017?
Should we get to the end? Oh, man, what a year.
Can I just say thank you, Teresa, for
helping doing this so often with
decomposition
us?
Decomposition.
Oh, I love
what it.
I love doing it. And I get so excited every time I get asked. When you were doing Christmas songs and you hadn't asked me yet, I was like, well, maybe they just, you know, have other people that they want to do things.
You are always number one.
We're saving you
on
for our
list.
Our last episode of the year.
Yay!
Round out 2017. I'm going to say I would absolutely listen to this with in the car with the windows rolled down, turned up.
This song?
And then I would be looking at other people and saying, like, are you hearing this? This is amazing. This is amazing that this exists. No.
Yeah, I have to say I'd listen to it because it really makes me laugh.
Yeah.
No, this gets shut off instantly.
If I can quote Catherine Fraser Nee Whitley, December 14th, 2017, the song is funny.
No, this is awful. It's so bad. It is emotionally manipulative. It is not a real Christmas song. He doesn't even know what the meaning of Christmas is.
For some reason, like, this song, it tries to be emotionally manipulative, but fails spectacularly. And I'm sitting there saying, like, look at this dumb kid and his dumb mom,
who is
dying with that barefoot. She is barefoot and
kid wearing tattered clothes.
And I'm going to say, that's not, like, that doesn't, I'm a bad person. That's not why.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know.
So, Teresa, you're turning it off.
I'm turning it off. On a scale of, like, 1 to 10 candy canes, this gets, like, 500 pieces of coal. Like, this is awful.
That is a weird scale.
It's a weird scale.
That you have.
We didn't plan this, but the idea just came to me now. Can we go with it?
Sure.
Can you guys tell me your favorite bad song we talked about this year?
Oh,
I might go
whole year.
I might go Meatloaf.
That was a fun episode.
Yeah, Rock and Roll.
It might be Meatloaf.
Through.
It's Meatloaf or Alice Cooper. Those two songs.
See, I liked the Heart episode because Katie was so uncomfortable with wanting to, like, the.
I always
make love
enjoy
to
that.
And
yeah,
Brad and I had the giggles so hard.
Sure.
That whole thing. But yeah. Meatloaf was great. I mean, you know, my brother was on it. And so his humor is my humor, basically. So I giggled a lot in that one. Oh, the LFO on Crazy Town. I mean, all of them.
Yeah. LFO favorite. Was great. I really like Pitbull also. I don't know. I feel
Fireball.
I feel like I change my mind about my favorite episode every week.
Yeah. I feel like I want to say I loved talking about Keith Urban's Female.
Yeah.
But that's not my favorite episode. Maybe all I want to do is make love to you.
You were so uncomfortable the whole time.
It might have been my fave, though. I don't know. It's so hard to pick.
I also remember how good I felt after our, like, first day of recording when we did two episodes with Josh and two episodes with Dennis. And then afterwards, I was just, like, elated.
Yeah.
After starting it off.
So even going way back to Abracadabra.
Yeah.
We just had a good time.
Do you know, almost a year ago was the first time I ever heard about the idea of this podcast. It was New Year's Eve and we were playing a game here in this house. And it was like, what do you want to do before the year is over? And Brad's thing on the little piece of paper was he wanted to start a podcast.
Yeah. And then we experimented with it at your house. Do you remember? We played.
Dennis and his wife were also there. And we
just played bad song after bad song and talked about them at your house as, like, an experiment to see if it was something that felt like it could work.
And we had so much fun doing that.
And we did. And I think it was just a few weeks later that we started to record. So, Teresa, you've been an intrinsic part of all of this from the get-go.
My hot cheeks.
She's so red right now.
The hot
them cheeks. Them cheeks is hot.
Well, guys, it has been a hell of a year.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And I am looking forward to 2018.
Cheers.
We've got big plans. You know, we've got big episodes that we hope to be able to record, including our year anniversary.
Yeah, Teresa
series.
Will be back for a very special 1 year anniversary series.
Yeah. Ooh, is it the one that I know about?
Yeah, but yes. We're not going to announce
anything.
It yet.
It's a secret, but I'm so excited.
Next week, we have a very special guest.
Who's maybe our biggest fan and also a very, very special listener.
Right, sure. For January 1st, New Year's Day, our New Year's Day episode. In the meantime, I guess, like, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Whatever you're doing, be safe. And
thank you so much for listening.
Please. Yeah. Like, thank you. I said please and thank you. I don't know why.
You're so
please,
polite.
But I did.
The magic words.
It's good upbringing.
Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please. And I want to buy these shoes.
All right, with that, I guess we will wrap it up. I want to just thank everybody for listening. Again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or song suggestions, or anything else, if you just want to say hi and be friends to us.
Or with us.
With us. Reach out. Our email address is decompositionpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on all the social medias. Twitter, we are at @decomp_pod. We're on Facebook and Instagram as Decomposition Podcast. Any social medias I'm forgetting here?
No, I think that does.
That just about does it. Please do us a favor. It would be a great Christmas gift if you could just give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. That helps us out a lot and helps spread all the love of terrible music.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, you guys have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, and you just chill till the next episode. Merry Christmas.
Oh, God. Please, no more.